This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Time now for our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and we're going to talk about sugar replacing starch. And the reason this is coming up in the discussion is because corn prices in the U.S. now are at $7 a bushel or higher. The reason we're looking at sugar is because we got to maximize rumen fermentation using rumen fermentable carbohydrates. And that includes sugar, starch, and soluble fiber. Calculate this in your ration. If these three numbers add up to about 38 to 40% of the ration dry matter, you've really got that rumen ready to cook. The classic work of a sugar replacing starch was done at the University of Wisconsin by the USDA researcher Dr. Glenn Broderick. And the neat study he did is he took and added somewhere between 2, 5, or 7% sugar, and of course had the control there. And when he added the sugar, he took starch out of the diet. So his final rations end up being 2.5% sugar, 5, 7.5, and about 10% sugar. And the neat thing that he discovered in his research when he replaced the starch is, first of all, dry matter intake went up, probably improves palatability and also can increase NDF digestibility. Milk also went up, and of course, that's the winner because right now milk protein is twice the value of milk fat at this point. And he discovered the optimal number was about 7% total sugar. That included the 5% he added plus a 2.5% of background sugar in the diet. He also reported that about 10% was too much. When he went to too high level of sugar, then dry matter intake dropped down and milk production followed it as well. So we want to take a look at some economics. So in making this decision, look at economics. Can I replace sugar at a same price or maybe slightly higher than I can starch? There are some sources. What I would recommend would be to look at such things as molasses, which is 70% sugar, almond hulls 34%, citrus pulp 25%, beet pulp 9 to 12% depending on the processing, and some of our grass pastures can be well in excess of 15% sugar. So certainly there's some alternative sources there, along with some of the candy products and some of the bakery waste products that can be fed to dairy cattle as well. So if it looks economical, then I would change it in 2% increments. So if you're feeding, for example, 26% starch, I would drop down to 24% starch. And then I would monitor such things as dry matter intake. Do we maintain dry matter intake? What about milk production? Does it increase or hold as well? Can I also see a boost in milk protein here? And certainly follow milk urea nitrogen. This is the excess nitrogen being captured by the rumen microbes. Sugar is notoriously beneficial in doing this in the feeding program. Finally, if you are going to make that change, then double check your math on the rumen fermentable carbohydrates to make sure you're at least at a 38% number or slightly higher. But remember, starch, about 70% breaks down in the rumen. Sugar goes 100% in the rumen. The other 30% of the starch ends up providing a glucose source to the cow, which could be very important for lactose synthesis, for milk sugar, also for the immune system and for reproductive and fertility factors. So eyes wide open if you make this change as well. So our take-home message for today is that if sugar is a good alternative price, consider putting it into your feeding program and add it to the 7% level. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured here every Friday on our Feed Forum Friday.
Get control of flies on your dairy operation with an integrated pest management program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products from Central Life Sciences. Clarifly Larvicide offers feed-through control that prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated animals by as much as 96%. And Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that address fly problems in all areas of your dairy operation. Flies can spread disease and lead to decreases in milk quality and yields. Learn how to limit their impact at centralflycontrol.com.
Like most business owners, the dairy producer is on top of their game, a passion for work, according to University of Minnesota Extension Jim Sulfur.
Most of these successful farmers really have pretty flexible business plans, and they think about long and short range goals. Typically, annually, they'll get together with their group of trusted advisors and say, this is how we did this year based on our goals. What do you guys see coming down the road? Tell us what you think. These really good farmers say, what are my weaknesses? And I'm going to hire a team of people around me that are different than I am with a really different set of skill sets and a different mindset.
University of Minnesota's Jim Sulfur. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.